Extra, extra, All right, everybody, welcome to Titans Extra. This is Johnny Sorrow, of course, with the ever-loving Pete. And normally Titans Extra, so far you've heard, it's been Parv and Kelly. But we've taken over Titans Extra Studios, Pete and I. And we got a really good, really cool show for you today. Don't we, Pete?
Yes, we do. We have Michael Elliott, who is right now he's in the process of trying to get funds to go. Has a Kickstarter going on right now for Ivan Koloff Doc. He's been the man behind Elbows Productions. He just recently did the great Rock and Roll Express DVD. His Jim Crockett Promotions Glory Days DVD actually won Best DVD of the Year in the Observer. I believe it was 2013 or maybe it was 2012. He was behind the Harley Race Greatest Wrestler on God's Green Earth. Really a real driving force behind keeping keeping like a live journal or looking at different aspects of the history of the business and wrestling, which it's, you know, right now all we really have is like the WWE skew. So having Michael's DVDs out there and his documentaries gives us a different perspective that's not as biased as like the WWE. Hey, Michael, welcome aboard.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Doing good. Doing good. You doing
wonderful.
All
right?
Yes, sir. I'm just glad to be on the number one show. A wrestling show on the internet.
There we go.
Very good. See, I already like you. Very good. That's you know what? That gets a plug again. What is the exact address for everyone to throw in some money at the Kickstarter fund for the Ivan movie?
You just go to Kickstarter.com and there'll be a search bar that says search projects. Just type in Ivan Koloff. It's the only project there. And we are at 55% funded right now.
Nice.
And we're about 10 days left to go, so hopefully, you know, people will chip in. And usually they wait till the last minute. But
right.
And we're not asking for a lot of money. We're asking for $4,500 to produce a professional documentary, not 10 grand, 12 grand, 15 grand, just what we need to make Ivan's story come to life and be remembered forever. And I hope people will understand that we're not trying to rip them off and put profit into the funding process. So that's not what we're doing.
Yeah, and what I want to add to that is, if anyone listening to this was anyone who ever torrented the Crockett documentary or any of his other works, and you're a cheapskate like that, I think karma would demand that you kick a little money to this Ivan documentary. You know, you don't want to go to hell for stealing, kids. So help us out here. Because the interview that you guys did with Ivan was outstanding, and it's a story that definitely needs to get told.
Are you talking about the clip on the Kickstarter page?
Oh, no, that. I'm talking about Pete and them interviewed Ivan about the project.
Yeah, and we just barely scratched the surface. That's why we need the documentary. I mean, he has such a history. Why don't you go in with Michael on why should people really invest in the Ivan Koloff documentary?
Because it's a story that needs to be told. There's so many stories out there that need to be told in professional wrestling, not sports entertainment, but professional wrestling. And there's so many guys, and Ivan is just one of those men. He was the third ever WWE, back then WWF world champion. And he, you know, everybody talks about Bruno Sammartino being one of the greatest champions of all time. But this is the man that ended his seven-year-plus reign as world champion. And I mean, it's that one thing on his credentials should give him the Hall of Fame alone, but he's done so much more since then that people don't even know, and they don't even really know the whole backstory on how he was selected. And to take that title and everything else that he's done in his career, I mean, Ivan is an open book. You guys talked to him, and I listened to the interview, and he's such a great man, and he's done so much in professional wrestling that people should want to hear his story and have him immortalized forever, because, you know, we never know. WWE will obviously probably never tell his story, and he might not ever get into their Hall of Fame at the rate they're going right now.
Yeah, that's a shame, because he's worked everywhere. The man has worked on top everywhere. He's drawn big money in different types of territories in the WWF, drew money in against the Road Warriors and Crockett. Even in the late 70s, early 80s, he's working Crockett headlining for the Mid-Atlantic belt against Ricky, a pretty young Ricky Steamboat, who might have been maybe 4 or 5 years into the business. He's wrestled so many world champions. He's one of the few guys who could actually say he had a run against every single babyface WWF world champion, from Bruno to Backlund to Pedro, and had great matches on top of it. He's one of the most underrated workers out there, where people don't realize how great he is. And his tag work is just phenomenal and stuff.
And he also, there was such a physical presence, because when I first started going to Crockett shows in Philadelphia in the 80s, and from watching the TV, since Ivan was always standing next to Crusher or Nikita, you got that impression from television that he's a small guy. And then he walks by you live, and he is a Russian bear, man. He's a big, huge guy, and he dripped charisma and presence, you know, even without speaking. He's definitely one of the. I hate to see him become a forgotten guy. So what you're doing is a cool deal, Mike.
Yeah, and you ask why people should contribute. You know, not only are you just giving money to us, you're basically pre-ordering the DVD. But if you know you go to a higher level, you can get an autographed 8x10, a Russian flag. You can get autographed. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you're going to get. You're not just getting a DVD for your money. There's so much other stuff that you can get.
How much for the Russian flag?
Well, for the Russian flag, it's $70. You get the Russian flag autographed. You get the 8x10. You're going to get the documentary, and I think you're going to get the entire interview that we conduct with Ivan, which is going to be from 4 to 5 hours long. So you're going to hear everything unedited that we talked to him about. Plus, you'll get the slick, polished version with everybody else included as well. It's fairly cheap, I think, for all that cool stuff.
I'm about to say, after the show, you're going to be seeing $70 pop up, because I was going to be donating after the show. But for a Russian flag autographed by Ivan Koloff, please, $70. He's practically giving it away, people. You know.
And we're talking to Nikita to get him involved. He does have a reality television show called Preacher's Daughter that's out there on, I think it's Lifetime. So we're kind of seeing if he's going to be available to talk to us. And if he is, we're going to have him try to autograph those flags as well. So we can get Ivan and Nikita for $70.
That'd be real cool.
If we get it.
Oh, that's awesome. So, Pete.
Yeah.
Go ahead with another question.
Okay.
And,
yeah, maybe, Michael, you could explain what a Kickstarter is, if some of the viewers don't really know, some of the listeners don't know. Like, a lot of people do know, but as of maybe about a year ago, I didn't know what a Kickstarter was until I started reading up on it. Can you explain to them what exactly it is?
A Kickstarter is a website for people, independent, you know, musicians, artists, filmmakers such as myself, to go to the public and say, hey, this is the idea that I have. This is what you'll get in return for your help. This is the amount of money that I need, or we need, to produce or make or record such and such product, such as the Ivan Koloff. We need $4,500. We wanted to know if the public, the people that we're interested in, were willing to help us pay for it in advance instead of coming out of our own pocket. Because honestly, guys, I don't have $4,500 just laying around, and I've done work with Hotspots, but I don't work for Hotspots, so I don't have their bank account behind this project, and I'm not an RF video that's been around and established. So, you know, we try to do this to see if the people really want it, and I think most people want to see the history of the business preserved, and we're trying to do it as much as we can, one project at a time. But basically, you know, we say we need $4,000, so, and there's separate tiers that people can contribute: $10, $20, $70, $100, whatever. But if we don't reach our goal by the end of the funding period, we don't see a dime from it. The project won't happen. It'll be shelved until I can eventually pay for it, or it will never happen. And nobody will get charged, and nobody's money is taken until the end of the project. So So in 10 days, people's money will be taken if we reach goal. And if not, you get your, you don't get charged at all. So it's basically just a pledge, a pre-order until we either get the money or we don't.
So, yeah, so it's like an all or nothing thing, right? Because even if you raise $3,000, let's say you raise $4,400, you get none of that unless you hit the goal of the $4,500 that you're asking for the funding, correct?
That's right. We won't, if we get $4,999 and we're a dollar short, $4,499 short, we will not get any of that money and the product will not come out. The documentary won't happen. So we're hoping everybody will get on board and come back. If you contributed to our last Kickstarter or the one before, this is our third one, and we're hoping that people have been happy enough with the products, and I think they have, and they'll come back. So it's just about getting the word out, and that's why I'm glad I'm on the number one radio show on the internet to talk about it.
Yeah, like the last one was, I'm sorry, Johnny, the last one was the Rock and Roll Never Dies, the story of the Rock and Roll Express, which was fantastic. It had it had Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson. We had interviews from Jim Cornette, Ivan Koloff, Dennis Condrey, Bobby Eaton, and it really captured the spirit and the importance of the Rock and Roll Express, of what they meant to Crockett and Mid-South and in the wrestling business in general and stuff. Was that the vibe you're trying to go for, or even when you're pre-planning, when you're coming up with a project, what's your like pre-planning on where you want to go with a documentary like the Rock and Roll Express? Was this exactly how you envisioned it, or what?
I wouldn't say. I think it turned out way better than I had envisioned it, because I thought it was going to eventually wind up being just about, you know, their career, but I really felt like we got into more about, you know, who they were and how they affected wrestling, and a lot about the lifestyle outside of the ring that people probably don't believe, but I mean, it really did happen. You know, you hear Robert telling the story about them shutting down the interstate just trying to get to an autograph sign-in, and people swarming their cars at red lights trying to get autographs. And, you know, Ricky tells one of the best wrestling stories I've ever heard about partying with Buddy Landell at a nightclub called the Black Banana in Philadelphia. And it's just, I mean, it's so much more than just wrestling, and that's what we go for. And we don't try to cover anything up. We try to just tell it like it happened and make it as real as possible for people to remember and to learn. I usually go on these projects thinking I know everything about this certain topic or this guy or that guy, but I usually go in and learn something that I never knew just from talking to everybody. So I think that's what we're kind of looking forward to, is just trying to keep it as real and make it different than a shoot interview that people probably heard. I know I haven't done a shoot interview before, but what we do is so different. I mean, it's so much, in my opinion, better than a shoot interview.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I want to add that I just watched that Rock and Roll documentary last night.
Cool.
I bought it I didn't finish it, but I watched most of it. And that's what I was thinking. Is anyone out there also, you know, who might be interested in buying that? You know, it's at High Spots along with lots of his other stuff. But with this one in particular, if you got turned off by the one I saw, the Ricky Morton shoot interview, and I'm not knocking anyone's product, but it's basically just sit down a guy and, you know, and ask the same questions. And Ricky was sort of, you know, not that forthcoming. And he was sort of just same old answers to the same old questions, you know, like, well, back then we knew how to work, you know. And this is the exact opposite. He's open about him and Robert and everyone are open about everything. The presentation, it's so much better. I particularly like the style of wrestlers tell stories that could be considered urban legends. And you had these guys all telling us the same stories, and you edit it into the where you're seeing that, okay, he's not just making this up because it's being corroborated by this guy, and this guy, but maybe some minor changes. I like that. I thought that was a cool little trick. Really enjoyed that.
Well, thank you. And I'll knock their products. They suck.
Oh, okay, good.
you sit a guy down on a chair and you just chat to him for 2 hours and pay him at a wrestling show and get it done real quick so you can make profit. It's boring, it sucks, it's been done too much, and what we're doing is trying to be different.
Yeah,
I didn't want to. I didn't want to step on any. I didn't want to step on anyone's toes in case you know you were friendly with anyone. But yeah, you know, sticking a guy in front of a big banner in a hotel room, you know, again, and asking about. So what was it? So what? How did you feel about the Von Erichs? Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
You know, same old, dumb questions. So yeah, this is fantastic. I really enjoyed the heck out of it, and as long as since you did, you know, let. Once again, tell everyone that what the number one show on the internet is. Not only is there the Rock and Roll Never Die project, there is the Harley Race, the best wrestler on God's green earth, JCP right. Glory Days, as we've mentioned, and the one my next one that I'm going to get, of course, because I'm the biggest Jimmy Valiant fan alive, is Woo Mercy, the Jimmy Valiant Experience. So if these are all as good as that Rock and Roll one, man, I'm looking forward to checking all of these out.
Well, Jimmy Valiant, you know, has the first one I ever completed, and it's one of my favorites. You know, the production on it's not as good as, you know, the later ones. We keep getting better with these. Mm-hmm. I mean, our production values keep going up, our storytelling keeps getting better, our editing, everything we do just continues to get better, and I really feel like I taught myself. You know, everybody said, what are you going to do next after the Jim Crockett Promotions documentary? I was like, well, I don't know. I'm going to do Rock and Roll Express. And like, well, you're wasting your time. You're not going to top that, but in my opinion, and just from my personal view, is, you know, I think the Rock and Roll Never Dies, the Rock and Roll Express documentary, is one of my best, if not the best, and I love that one. And you know, the Harley Race one just came out too, and that was done, you know, High Spots, you know, hired me to produce that for them, and it turned out really good. And you know, Harley was a little hard to get to open up, but I kind of understood it from, you know, 30, 40 years of, you know, protecting wrestling, and then just one day, boom, it's all open and everybody knows everything. Right. So I kind of got that from the impression from him, but you can kind of see that in the final product. But, you know, we're only getting better, and, you know, Jimmy Valiant, I hope you order one. He got me started on this, and it's supposed to be just a one and done, and now I've kind of just kind of become a passion and something I want to see done. So.
And you also sell your DVDs through your own website at Elbows Production also, correct? Because that's where I got the Rock and Roll Never Dies, because High Spots was all out of them for a bit and stuff. So you can get your docs that you do your Kickstarters on through you, correct?
Yes, elbowproductions.weebly.com. Again, I'm not rich, so I have to keep the Weebly on there because it's free. and elbow is with two L's. So, you know, you thought we couldn't spell, but it's just a play off my last name. but yeah, you can order it, and I got them sitting right here next to me. If you want to place an order, I'll throw it in the mail tomorrow morning for you.
Awesome.
And I don't know if you guys are aware, I also did it's called History and Tradition: The Story of the National Wrestling Alliance. It was a look at the origins of the NWA and the title and where it was up to that date when we completed it, which was with Adam Pearce. So we kind of followed the NWA title from its inception to where it was, and obviously it's in a different place now, but also was a producer of that one.
Yes, I have that one too, and I liked it and stuff. But yeah, it's like it's almost like you're looking at the glory days, and then it's like you see some of the clips of where they're working now, and it's just a far drop off, but it's still, I mean, it's just a shame of what happened to like old school wrestling, you know?
And if you've seen any of these documentaries and you want to see the Alvin Call-Off when it's done, go to Kickstarter.com, type in Alvin Call-Off, and check out all the cool stuff mm-hmm. you can get for helping us out. We're, like I said, I think we're about 55% of the way there, and we're getting into the final week of it, so we'll see what happens.
So how did you get into doing, like, wrestling documentaries and stuff?
Well, my day job... I work for a television station in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I've been doing that for the last 10 years. So I already know, you know, I do the camera work, and I go out and do live shots for television every day. So I just, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Mid-Atlantic Fan Fest that they have here in Charlotte every year. So I went out there one year and was videoing for work because I wanted to get in free and meet some wrestling legends and just check it out. So I went in and shot a story, and I interviewed Jimmy Valiant for it. We just started talking, exchanged emails, and you know, one day I just emailed, said, "Hey, let's do your documentary. Let's do a life story in a documentary format." And he just said, "Yeah, brother, let's do it." And it came out, and people loved it. And just kind of been snowball effect from there, just kept on going. And, you know, like I said, High Spots is located out of Charlotte, and they found out about me, and they hired me to do a couple of documentaries with them, and I've done a few on my own, and so it's just kind of snowballed from there.
I wanted to ask you,
go on, Johnny, go on, I'll ask my follow-up in a minute.
Okay, I was about to just ask you, were you always a fan, you know, from when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, I've been a fan since I was 3 years old. My first memory of wrestling is watching with my dad's mom, my grandma, who's no longer with us, in her living room floor, is my first memory of watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my first memories, I told Alan that this was live wrestling, was in, you guys probably don't know where, Rock Hill, South Carolina. But I was there in the Winthrop Coliseum, and I remember him and Nikita coming out, and that's one of my first memories of live wrestling. So I've been a fan. Don't really watch it anymore, but I keep up with it here and there. But I'm still a fan, and I still watch it. But I do appreciate the older stuff and the guys who kind of paved the way for all this stuff that's happening today. And that's why I like doing these documentaries, is just making sure that they get the credit and the respect and the due that they deserve for what they've done.
Was the wrestling, was your first foray into doing documentaries, or did you do other type of documentaries before that?
Never did a documentary, and I was scared to death, hoping that it wasn't going to turn out like crap and Jimmy was going to hate it, but it turned out great. It's like I said, it's my number two, number three on my list, just because it was my first one. But like I told you, the production's not all that great, but Jimmy got it, and he said he watched it 3 times, so it turned out great. He loved it, I loved it, and it sold, and people wanted me to continue on, so I kept on going, and, you know, it's just kind of turned out that, hey, this is the wrestling documentary guy, and hopefully, you know, I don't mind being labeled that, but I'd like other people to, you know, hop on board. There's so many stories that people could be telling, and, you know, Kickstarter is a great tool for people, independent people that don't have the funds, that don't abuse it. You know, I think a lot of wrestling, there's been a lot of wrestling Kickstarter, and I think a lot of people have tried to abuse it. That's why I think it's a little bit tougher for people like me who are, you know, sincere and genuine about what they're going to do with the funding if they get it. So it's, you know, it's 50-50 with these Kickstarters, but I want to keep trying because I believe that people want to see the history told by the guys that lived it and not told by WWE. Because they're not going to tell everybody's story, and they're only going to tell you the stories that they want you to hear and how you want them heard. And that's why I'm trying to keep it going.
When Jimmy saw it and he was happy, did he give you a big kiss on the lips?
Oh, yeah, brother. There's a little trick. He puts his thumb in between there.
Okay.
He just gave me a big hug, and he hugged everybody. If you guys never met him, if you ever get a chance to meet him, you'll fall in love with him immediately. He's one of the nicest guys in the whole in the entire wrestling business.
He's the reason I got into watching Crockett. I grew up in the Northeast, so I was a WWF kid, and the wrestling boom happened, and so there was wrestling everywhere. When I first turned on Crockett worldwide, it was Jimmy Valiant was the first thing I saw, and I was just like, "What the?" And it did suck me in, and he became my favorite guy. So, yeah, I'm already in love with him.
And his first major feud when he came to Crockett was with Ivan Koloff, big bad Russian against the boys from New York City. And, you know, they talk about that in Jimmy's documentary, and we might touch on it just a tiny little bit in Ivan's if we get to that point. But, yeah, so there's a tie there between Jimmy and Ivan already.
Nice.
How do you decide on how you pick your subject matters, on who you're going to do the documentaries on, or like Jim Crockett Promotions or what have you?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just, like I said, I met Jimmy. The first one was real easy. I met him, we became friends, and I just threw the idea out there, and he said, yeah. I've worked with Ivan. This will be the third time I've worked with Ivan, if I get to work with him again. So we've been kind of talking about it over the years. You know, he saw the Jimmy Valiant product, and he saw the Jim Crockett product that he was involved with. And, you know, he said, hey, you ever thought about working with me? And same thing with Ricky and Robert. You know, I've been putting Ricky and Robert off for 3 years, and I've now seen the finished product of those guys. I'm kind of regretting not getting it done sooner. But it's just, you know, just working, you know, with these guys and just talking and becoming friends. I just recently gave out my demo reel to Sabu and Tommy Dreamer, and I heard back from Sabu. He's interested in working with me, so we'll see if that happens. I don't know how much it's sad to say, you don't know how much these guys are going to charge you for their time to be a part of this. That's the last one. It's all about making money, and I understand that, and they should get paid for their time, but, you know, being an independent guy, that's why you come back through and go to Kickstarter. So.
Exactly.
Well, that was one of my questions. I was going to say, what have been some of the biggest obstacles in getting these things made from the perspective of, besides the money, but from the perspective of having to deal with what is the wacky world of professional wrestling?
I don't think I've really ever had any obstacles in making them. I've gotten actually really nothing but positive response from people when I approach them. You know, most guys are a little hesitant. You know, I never heard of this guy before, but now I kind of got my name out there. I got, you know, when I met Tommy Dreamer here in Charlotte, I gave him my DVD and said, hey, I just did this rock and roll DVD, and they're down there. If you want to talk to them, he went over there, and they, you know, they put in a good word for me. So, you know, it's not that hard. It's hard finding the contact information for me, getting in touch with them. But after that, it's usually pretty simple and smooth. I kind of know what I'm doing now and how to approach them and how to get them to open up and work with me.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like you mentioned earlier, you touched on it, Harley was a little rough to get to open up and drop all the kayfabe. That's what I was kind of getting at. Is like that is for some of the guys, is that still kind of hard for them to get over?
Yeah, and Harley's the only guy that I've ever had that issue with, and I wish I could release the raw interview, that entire interview, because I asked the same question in several different ways, and he either it was a bunch of bullshit that he wrote in his book, or he just didn't want to brag about it, and I can't say what either one was, but like I said, he was, you know, he came from the days of wrestling in the carnivals all the way up until, you know, the pay-per-view era. So he protected the business and kept it a secret. So it's kind of probably like a culture shock for him and some of the old timers to open up and just openly talk about things, because the one thing that I got him to talk about that he didn't want to talk about was the whole situation between you know, when Dory Funk refused to drop the belt to Briscoe, and he kind of was the man in the middle, but he kind of started talking about it a little bit. But even Terry Funk didn't want to talk about that for some reason. I was like, come on, guys, it's, you know, it's in the past. And,
yeah. History. Either people are going to make it up, or let's hear it from you guys, you know?
I don't think I should talk about that.
Yeah, people want to know. And that's a guy that I would love to work with, is Terry Funk, and tell his story. I think that would be one of the most awesome documentaries out there. But I got to contact him again.
That would have to be like a series of eight.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
That'd be your franchise. It could be the franchise.
Yeah.
Volume.
Take me 10 years to work on.
So I was wondering, what type of prep do you do when you're doing these documentaries? Do you, like, storyboard it, or do you just have notes on where you want to go, but then all of a sudden you might get an interview where, oh, I might have to take this in a whole different direction?
I try to do my homework before I get involved with anything. I try to, you know, you try to research the Internet, but everything on the Internet's always accurate, so I don't really do a storyboard or anything. I just kind of write down, you know, point A to point B and to C and all the way to the end, but I kind of just go on with topics and kind of ask questions from there. I don't like writing down my questions and how I'm going to go here and there and try to figure it out. But
all right, we're back with more Titans Extra with me, Johnny Sorrow, Pete, and of course Michael Elliott here. Who's making the Ivan Koloff documentary. We had Kickstarter, made plenty of other documentaries like we've talked about, and we're going to get right back into the interview, Pete. I wanted to ask, when you with all the guys you've been interviewing and some of the great stories they've got to tell, what are a few that maybe really stood out that really like made you laugh, you know, and that you didn't know about possibly?
The one that I mentioned earlier, you know, about Ricky going to the nightclub with Buddy Landale. I don't want to give the whole story away. So if you buy it, you'll enjoy it. But he talks about going to a drug bar in Philadelphia.
It was a good story.
And, it's one of the funniest things that I've ever heard. I always try to control my laughter out of the behind the camera because I don't want to, you know, ruin the interview or anything. But that's definitely one of them. And just some of the odd stuff I've heard, you know, Jimmy Valiant, you know, they bought him a house. You know, they kept asking him when he was in Mid-Atlantic, you know, Jerry Lawler asked him, you know, what's it going to take to bring you back to Memphis? And, you know, he said, if you buy me a house, I'll come back. And so they said a couple of weeks later, pick a house and come on home. And they did, but it didn't work out. But that's probably the Ricky Morton one is definitely the best story I've ever heard told, you know, during any of my interviews.
God, I can't remember. I was probably at the show they did the night it happened.
Yeah.
I didn't miss many Philly Civic Center shows, and I saw a number with the Rock and Roll and Buddy Landale on them. So,
Now I was going to ask about the differences between when you have your Kickstarter projects and, like, for example, where High Spots gets you to do like the Harley Race DVD. Do they have a vision for you, or do they allow you to follow your own vision? Because obviously, like the Rock and Roll Never Dies DVD, that's your vision completely. I'm assuming 100%.
Well, they just give me free reign. They kind of trust me. They know that I'm not going to skimp out and give them some crappy product in return. But, you know, I'll work on it. And as I'm working on it, if I finish a chapter here or a chapter there, I'll sit down and watch it with the guy that's, you know, paying me to do it, make sure he's happy with it. And then when we get the final product, right before the final product's put out, you know, we sit down together. He tells me what he likes, what he doesn't like, and we fix this and fix that. So I prefer to work on my own because it's my vision. It's, you know, it's the story that I'm trying to get out there, and some of the things that they want changed or a little weird or want things added. It's kind of, it's easier to work for yourself than it is for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had nothing to think but positive things to say about, you know, my experiences working with High Spots. I hope to do some work with them again in the future if there's anything, you know, they need done. Or I've even reached out to RF Video because, I mean, the guy has all access to the ECW library. And I was like, dude, you're sitting on a gold mine. Let's just do some documentaries or something. You know, just, I'm not asking to be paid $1 million, but, you know, pay me something that makes it worth my time. And
yeah, especially with, like, the RF, those guys are really, they're like, they you know, we've seen, like, 8 interviews with, like, Raven, and they're different interviews, but it's not like a documentary feel or all-encompassing type of thing where like, your documentaries could actually, you know, really, what's the word I'm trying to put, but really bring something new to the table that's interesting instead of the same drab, you know, same thing. They sit on a chair. They maybe talk about, Raven will talk about psychology. Okay, now we're going to talk about his work. And then, oh, hey, we're going to throw Sandman in there. They'll talk about how they work together. It's just, you know, it's just, yours is a lot more whole encompassing,
That's one of the roadblocks that I went up when I pitched ideas to, you know, guys over at High Spots or more recently with Rob Feinstein or a video, but they're like, well, there's so many shoot interviews out there that I don't think people will be interested. And I was like, well, you're wrong because those are, you know, those are boring. Those are the same old, you know, you have your set list of questions. You don't ever ask follow-up questions. And this is what we do is so different. And if people get behind this Ivan Koloff project, they'll see that. If they've never supported us or seen our product, and they get behind this product, and then they get there, they're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
These guys are doing us, you know, doing wrestling good. They're not, you know, dragging down more shoot interviews. You know, it's not a shoot interview, it's a documentary.
Exactly.
You have music, photos, pictures, several different interviews, and it's, you know, it's, that's just kind of our thing right now.
Right.
Just don't let Jeff Lynn get a hold of this. You're gonna be paying ELO some money. Somehow I doubt he's a wrestling fan. So
sure.
Okay. No, you mentioned that you went to you were a kid. You went to a show and saw Ivan and Nikita. How often did you go to live shows when you were a youngster?
Well, you know, growing up and not being a rich kid, you know, or anything, you know, my parents, you know, both worked hard and they took us when they could, you know. Went to, you know, sporadically. You know, I attend a lot of independent shows because I still enjoy the live feeling and seeing things and being up close. And that's kind of how it was back in the day. But, you know, now you get to go to the gyms and see some of these guys just coming off TV up close and get to shake their hands and get to meet a lot of the old timers that you saw when you were growing up. But I didn't get to go a whole lot, but it was, you know, it was always a treat when we got to go.
I was wondering, when you're doing a Kickstarter, how anxious is it, like, the day-to-day? I'm sure you're looking day-to-day, waiting, looking to see what the numbers look like and stuff on raising funds. How anxiety-ridden is that on a daily basis?
The first one was very, very stressful. You know, the one that we did with Rock and Roll was stressful. This one I've kind of just, you know, spread it word of mouth as much as I could. I've been did your guys' shows. You're doing several other shows. And I'm just trying to get it out there word of mouth. So I'm not, you know, the first one and the second one, I was like checking it every day, every hour, looking to see if anybody would help out or were interested in this project because I had such a, you know, love and a passion to see it get done. And this one, you know, I still check it every once in a while. I'm hoping to check it, you know, here in a little bit and see that $70 you're talking about.
It's coming.
But anyway, you know, I do check it, you know, at least two or three times a day. You know, you don't want to drag yourself nuts. And
right.
I found out with these things that it's usually a last minute thing, and it's, you know, last 3 days, you know, you'll see an uptick, but hopefully it's enough to get us over the top. You know, we only need like $2,000 more. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but in reality, it really is. Mm. But I'm hoping we'll get there.
Well, we're going to do our best for you. Also, growing up, not to keep going back to that, well, you know, I know what it's like being from a working class family and going when you can. But watching on TV, I mean, I know that, not to do one of the stock questions, but who were your favorite guys growing up?
Oh, gosh. Obviously, Rock and Roll Express was huge for me. All the good guys. Back then, you didn't.
Good guys.
Back then, you didn't cheer for the bad guys.
Well, unless you were from Philadelphia. No.
Yeah, man. All you guys. You guys love all the bad guys.
Ruined wrestling.
We ruined wrestling. Okay, sure.
Yeah, I was a typical wrestling fan. You know, you cheer for the good guys, you do the bad guys. You know, you want good to win over evil in the end, and that's kind of how I was as a kid. And as I got older, you know, I started to respect the horsemen a little bit more. And obviously, everybody, you know, turned Stone Cold into a, you know, like the anti-hero. So, you know, it's kind of different now. But back then, you know, I was always for the good guys, and, you know, Rock and Roll Express, Magnum TA,
Magnum,
Dusty Rhodes, you know, all those guys.
I'll say, even though I cheered for the bad guys, there were certain good guys I would still cheer for, and Magnum was number one on that list. So, yeah.
And I've got to interview Magnum several times now. And he's he's a real down-to-earth guy, and he's doing very well for himself. You know, a lot of people probably thought he would, you know, just go into a hole and after his accident, but he's a very, very successful businessman and doing very, very well for himself these days.
That's right. He's in the Rock and Roll. He's another guy. In the Rock and Roll documentary that everyone should buy. And I say buy, not download. You're not entitled to it. Pay. like I did last night. It's a bargain, too. You know, I mean, and I'm not even, and then, you know, all joking aside, the finished product ones that are done, go to High Spots, go to Mike's site, you know, they're a bargain, and you're getting content. And like I said, it's not your typical shoot interviews. You know, these are, like you said, these are documentaries, and they're well done, and they're engaging and entertaining. They're not dry. It's not some sort of dry intellectual study of wrestling. These are well done, entertaining, and informative. I can't say enough about them.
Now, here's a question for you, Michael. How rewarding is it when you get, like, positive feedback on your work? And then, but on the flip side, wrestling fans are pretty darn critical. How does, like, the negative feedback affect some of it? Because I've seen some of, like, for most of the things you've done, it's, like, super really, in general, it's positive. But then you see these little petty, like, negative comments that really, it's, like, really, I think I've read somewhere, like, they mentioned on The Rock and Roll Never Dies, and we got critical acclaim feedback. One of the little things that someone mentioned, well, Robert Gibson didn't have the world title, world belt in 1991. And I'm listening, and I'm like, well, it's a documentary. He's telling their story, not telling the story. And wrestlers not always going to remember everything. Like, wrestlers aren't historians. They lived it. I can't remember what I was doing in 1991 on that date, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I always, you know, I've heard mostly overwhelmingly positive reviews and nice comments about the stuff we put out. But if you do see one, you know, you always, you look at it and you say, hey, is this something that we could work on, or is this something seriously we should consider, or, you know, but, you know, wrestling fans are ones to complain a lot, but they're also ones that, you know, give praise when it's deserved, and I think that it's been well-deserved praise. I'm not tooting my own horn, but...
Go ahead, toot.
I'm about to. you mentioned in the intro, we won the Wrestling Observer DVD of the year last year in 2013, and I don't read the Observer, but I was told by one of the guys that works at the Torch, you know, that you should be very, very proud of that.
It's huge.
That's a huge deal. And, I was like, well, I am. And I was like, you know, we're the first independent, you know, documentary to beat a WWE-produced product. They won it every year. They had that category until last year. So we do good work. Our work speaks for itself, and hopefully people will continue to get behind us.
Yeah. No, it's like unheard of. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
your Rock and Roll Never Dies DVD is going to probably be slugging it out with the Paul Heyman DVD for best DVD of the year this year in the Observer Awards, which would be if I'm reading the landscaping right.
Well, I don't want to say we're going to beat Paul Heyman's DVD because I've seen it, and it's really good, but there was just one moment in that whole documentary, they did an amazing job on that story, but there was just one moment where it kind of let me down, and I don't think if it was my product, I would have went there. They didn't have Vince McMahon involved in the project at all, and the part where he quit WWE the first time where they talked about being on the plane and they didn't get in anything, what happened on that plane? I wanted to know what happened, what was said, and why it's all water under the bridge now. No, we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I think that's the point of these.
Is all that on the Blu-ray?
To let people know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the Blu-ray part.
Oh, it's on the Blu-ray?
No, it's a joke.
No, they do do that. No, they actually throw on a lot of extra stuff onto the Blu-rays. Okay.
Well, if it's on the Blu-ray, I apologize, but I got the DVD for $15 at Walmart, so I wasn't going to pass that up.
Yeah. $15?
Yeah. So I didn't pass it up. I enjoyed it. It's great. And, you know, if we could beat that documentary in an award category again, that'd be, you know, awesome. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Have you ever gotten any, negative feedback? Because I'm assuming the WWE feels like they're entitled to this piece of the pie. Have they ever given you any... type of feedback or any type of negative backlash and stuff? Because, like, I noticed, like, in the the gentleman, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, who gave you some of the Mid-Atlantic footage that he owned for the Jim Crockett DVD, I now notice that WWE bought his collection and stuff for the network, which we're probably not going to see. So I was curious if you've ever gotten any, like, negative feedback from them.
Yes, my good friend George Pantis out of somewhere out of Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, he contacted us, and he had contacted WWE, and this was for the Crockett documentary, and obviously going into that project, I knew there was no footage. I was like, there's no footage, there's no B-roll, it's just going to be photos and pictures, or it's going to suck. But then this little gym came along, and I told the guy over at High Spot, I said, do whatever you have to do to get us that footage. I don't care what it costs. We're going to need that. And we were able to work out a deal with Mr. Panthers before the sale to WWE. And so it's included in there. And there's also some, like, 15 uncut minutes of footage on this, too, on that one. So it was – so I personally have never heard from WWE. I know people in WWE have seen my work. I know they've seen the Crockett DVD and – it just amazes me that they're sitting on that footage and doing nothing with it, especially after the success we've had with, you know, just photographs and some 8mm footage that we were very, very lucky to find.
Yeah, that's one of the negatives on, like, the WWE Network, is they're not... A lot of people complain about plenty of things on the network, but one of the ones I hear, and something I complain about, but I get over it, is that I'm an old-school wrestling fan, and on the network I want to see some old-school footage, and it seems like the WWE owns almost everything, and they're not really giving it to us. So your documentaries, like the Ivan Koloff documentary, is an outlet to see the history. And, I mean, I think for fans who are upset with the network or upset, or not necessarily upset, but are just not getting what they want from the WWE, this is an outlet that you really should get behind and support and stuff.
You'll get that footage when I say you will, goddammit.
Well, Vince, tell everybody to go to Kickstarter and look up.
Everybody go to Kickstarter and fund this Ivan Koloff project if you want to see him in the Hall of Fame, or else you're fired.
There, I thought you were doing your Ivan impression.
No, that's what my Ivan. Megan of TA, you think you are a superior athlete, but never you, Nikita. He is the Russian superior. That is right, Ivan. We crush her, and on the Ivan, we break your dusty rose. Magnum of TA, manifold.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where can you get that Kickstarter, Ivan?
You get Kickstarter at very capitalistic way. At Kickstarter, search my name, Ivan Koloff, and give your money. Share.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. Hey, this has been a lot of fun, man. Like I said, everybody, in all seriousness, go to Kickstarter. Search Ivan Koloff. Throw a few bucks. You know, it could be, you know, you don't have to go for the big deal and get the awesome, cool flag. You know, you can do the $10. If enough people do it, you know, you're going to be able to see this project finished, and you're going to be helping contribute. You call yourself a wrestling fan, you know, well, contribute a little bit, you know, and to get this stuff out there for everyone to see and prove that you're a real fan and help this this project.
And it's kind of cheating. I didn't mean to play it, but anybody that gives, even if you give $1 or $10 or more, get your name in the credits, so you know your name is there forever, showing that you are part of this project. It's not just your money that we want, you know, it's your money to help make this thing happen. Right. So you could, you'll have it there forever to say, hey, look, you know, my name's on this project, I was a part of it, I helped make it happen.
Yeah, that's cool. That's too. Kind of maybe we could Sally Struthers for less than the cup of the cost of a cup of coffee a day. You can get the story of the Russian bear Ivan Koloff out there for everyone to see.
Yeah, I said this on the Ivan Koloff interview. I donated, and so it's not just lip service coming from me. I want to hear the story, because Ivan gave us a killer interview for an hour and a half, and it doesn't even scratch the surface of what you guys are going to do. And it's going to be much more exciting than an Englishman, a Canadian, and a Texan interviewing Ivan Koloff. So I want to see this documentary, and we need everyone's help. All our listeners here, you know, I've been pushing this for like the last month on where me and Johnny are message board nerds, and I've been pushing it on the message boards I go to. I've been tweeting it and stuff, because I believe it's a story that needs to be told. And after interviewing Ivan, he's really one of the good guys out there, where you want to see this made for him, and it might help him, it may help his standing in the maybe the WWE Hall of Fame or the Observer Hall of Fame. To me, he's a Hall of Famer, a class act Hall of Famer anyway. Now all we just need is the official title to prove it, and having the documentary is one piece of that puzzle maybe.
And also, if you want to get in touch on Twitter, it's Twitter. It's at JCP documentary, you know, to give your feedback and everything. But more importantly is go to Kickstarter, search Ivan Koloff, throw a few ducats their way, and get this shit made, man. We'd like to thank Mike. We'd like to thank you for coming on to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Hey, thank you, guys. And remember, just like you said, go to Kickstarter and look up Ivan Koloff and check us out. We have 10 days. As of this recording, to get it done, so keep getting the word out of there, and
we're gonna get this show up at ASP. So,
all right, All right, cool.
Thanks, man.
I thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, burden runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Warm, touching warm. Reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet.